James, thanks a million for talking to me today. So you're originally from Ballymena and your family are here in Coleraine, Chancellor of the University of Ulster. How important is it for you to come back to your roots?
Oh, very important, you know, and particularly on this trip because it was the first time since I got installed as Chancellor to have a real look at the all the different campuses, all the different work they do, and I've had a whistle-stop tour. I started yesterday morning. I was in Jordanstown. I then was over at the Belfast campus looking at the animation, the digital animation they do, a lot of the design technology. I was up in McGee College yesterday talking to the performance artists the students there, doing a Q&A. And then last night at the 35th anniversary of the Riverside Theatre here on the Coleraine campus, I was doing a night in conversation. So it's been great. I've got an opportunity to see so much of the amazing work that the research facilities are doing here, but also to see a university that is, you know, progressing and developing and expanding, and it's been a treat.
You originally wanted to be a teacher. What made you take the risk and give up your French studies to move to London and study drama?
Well, I didn't think I was going to be a very good teacher, and my father was a very good teacher, and my three older sisters became teachers because of him, and I'd been doing a bit of acting, and at that time, you know, this is a long time ago, this is before you were born, it's 1983, and it wasn't a normal route to take to go into acting. It was something you'd be a wee bit embarrassed about doing, and something that you didn't think would have worth, something you thought that people would mock, and something I thought my parents would be very worried about in terms of the security of it. But it was sort of in me, and it had been in me for a long time, and I couldn't resist the call of it. So I gave up the degree, and at that point, when you're young, you know, you're not really considering the future anyway, in a sense. You know, you're considering the now, the present, which I think is very important to remember. I think sometimes now we focus too much on the future. I think, you know, students have to live in the present. And so I decided to go with it, and, you know, it worked out.
And when you look back at your earlier roles, what stage did you feel like you'd made it as an actor?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can ever really think that. I mean, you think that for a bit and then someone else gets a job you want to get. And so there's always, yeah, there's always reminders that you're replaceable in my work. But, you know, I worked hard. I was always someone who had worked hard as when I was, you know, a teenager. I always had part-time jobs. I used to call bingo in Portrush. I worked in Barry's. I was a womble. I used to be head of stationery in Moores or on the White House. You know, I was always working. So I think not that I never ever really had a kind of there was never really a defining moment or when I thought, oh well, I've made it, but I've always kept in work.
Good
and
work,
you know.
Tell me a wee bit about your most recent role as Bofa in The Hobbit. It's attracted a lot of attention, and how did your family cope moving out to New Zealand?
Well, the family were, my kids were very, they were horrified at first, they were heartbroken, you know, I mean, I'm sure you'll remember that, you know, 13, 14, and the other one was 8 or 9 then. I mean, it's a difficult time, you know, your friends are very important, and so when we told them they were going to the other side of the world, they were horrified, but I knew it would be all right, and it turned out great for the family. It's a very beautiful place. You know, wonderful quality of life. They were introduced and integrated into different cultures. So that worked brilliantly. And I think that my kids will always have that. You know, they'll always have a touch of Maori in them, you know, which is lovely for them. And the work was interesting. I mean, it's a big film. It's, you know, it's the biggest film really ever made. And so the scale of it was extraordinary and very exciting, at times a little bit daunting, at times a bit frustrating when you kind of feel that you're a very, very, very small cog in a very, very big machine. But you know, ultimately working with Jackson was a treat. And, you know, and I'll always be able to say I was a dwarf in The Hobbit, and there's only 13 of us will ever be able to say that.
Tell me a wee bit about your family life and your wife, Sonia. Is she a big support to you?
Yeah, no, family life. I mean, well, it was interesting about New Zealand because that was the first time ever and that my work and family life were integrated. Because a lot of the time my work takes me away, not very far. Most of my work has been either in Ireland or in England, although recently I've been doing more in Europe and further afield. But so that was great. And, you know, I think it's complicated for them, you know, what's happened to me in terms of, you know, Peggy, when Peggy was very, very young, I was walking with her in the street and someone stopped me and asked me for an autograph, and she said, "Oh, I get it. They know you, but you don't know them." And that's what it very much is like. And so I think that can be quite intrusive and invasive for a family, for Sonia and for the kids. But also we've enjoyed the benefits of my career. We've had some fantastic times together, and they're pretty normal. I mean, the kids don't really care what you do. You know, I mean, they're a fantastic leveler, because they certainly aren't as interested in my career as I am. And that's really the way it should be, and that's what we've tried to achieve. And so I think we must be doing something right, and I think it must have worked out okay for us, if you just look at them, you know.
And tell me a wee bit about your involvement with the Wave charity then.
Yeah, Wave I've been involved with for a long time. They were set up in the 80s by women on either side of the divide who were bereaved during the Troubles, and it then became this charity that was offering counselling to anyone bereaved, affected or traumatised by the Troubles. When I first was asked to be patron, I did a lot of work with children that had been affected and traumatised. Memorably, there was this one little girl that Wave had discovered who hadn't spoken for 2 years after she'd seen her daddy shot in front of her. They were undergoing a lot of problems with funding at the time, and because the irony was that when peace began to come to Northern Ireland, their funding was beginning to be taken away, because they said, "Oh well, there's peace now, so you're cured." But of course, actually, that was the time when the funding was more important than ever, because all of a sudden they felt they could come forward and try and express this locked away grief. So we did this big art event where I got emerging and established artists to donate pieces of art, because art is very much part of the therapy that they use at Wave. And then I got sort of celebrity artists to draw. I'd paint left in various kind of clubs in London, and if any of the celebrities went in there, they'd be taken up to a room and they would draw something for Wave. And we raised a lot of money and we secured their future. But now they've been working with the families of the disappeared, and they've been working with them for a long time. But since the setting up of the Commission for the Location of Victims Remain a few years ago, and since they've got all this new equipment now, since they've got the support of the British and Irish governments, and indeed Gerry Adams himself has written supporting the work they do, we've made a lot of progress in trying to locate more of these victims' remains, because of course these are the people who have had no closure at all when there's been so much has progressed in the north of Ireland. And so we've made a few appeals and digs are underway. We found in the last 2 or 3 years three more remains, so that their families can finally bury these people. They can have a bit of closure. And there's a new dig underway at the minute. So their work is vital, but it's a privilege to work with them. They're great people.
Have you ever had any prolonged periods out of work, and how do you keep yourself motivated?
Well, I've had a few periods out of work, but I always knew there was work coming, there's always plenty to do. With me, I've always had plenty of motivation when I'm working, and when I haven't been working, I've had plenty of other things to do. You know, I've got a family, I've got hobbies, I've got interests, I've got mates, and sometimes it's just nice to lie down in a bed and sleep for a while as well.
What's next for you then, James?
Next for me, I don't know, actually, for the first time. I might be going out to New Zealand for the primary. I mean, I probably should do that, but it's a long old journey. But I would be, you know, very disappointed if I'd missed out on it. In the new year, I don't know. There might be more Monroe, or there may be other stuff. I'll continue my work with the university. I mean, I feel I'm just, you know, I feel I'm really still discovering more about the role than the university. I want to kind of explore that further, but you know, just keep well, hopefully.
And looking back, any regrets?
Oh, there's plenty of them. I've had a few, actually. But then again,
any in particular?
No, nothing really. No. You know, you can't really look back and regret, you know, because it's in the past. The past is in the past.